You're not a pause. Oh, good. I get an extra share of this thing. Okay, yes. Yeah. Are you the guy who called? I don't know who the guy was. Wasn't you? No? Okay. I mean, there also, you know, right. So it could be that here also, the crushing up, you're not doing it also specifically for the purpose of crushing up to be mevatel. You want to crush up because you want to have brachta kugel. So this is even better than that. Because here I'm doing it, mamash, for another reason. I can identify the other reason I'm doing it. And my real kavan is not to be mevatel yisr altogether. Whereas over here, in the first case, I want to be mevatel yisr. It's no other reason why I'm eating on heter. But still not exactly the same. Anyway, again, so by sorry. So the real question is a certain game of statistics over here. I have a particular food. I have a lettuce in front of me. I have a broccoli, a cauliflower, something in front of me. And the question is, what are the numbers? Are the numbers, is it called to be a motzu or not? If it's called to be a motzu, then I would be required to check it. At least the chachila, maybe with the evidence, I'd be required to check it. If it's not a be a motzu, then presumably I can eat it all together. So that, needless to say, you can all figure out that it's sometimes hard to give an exact science and math to these numbers, whether there is a mir amotzi or not. So a lot of the issues that are revolving around different hashkach organizations are trying to figure out whether we've met that threshold of mir amotzi or not. You know, then it becomes very, very, fine lines between, well, let's say in theory, all broccoli at this time of the year maybe is a mir amotzi that's infested, but if you get a certain kind of broccoli and I checked a couple of the leaves, so maybe I can assume that if I check part of the broccoli, maybe this batch is not a mir amotzi anymore. Again, so this becomes very, very fine line. And you're going to get different answers from different hashkach organizations about this. But again, if something is a mira matzoi, then the halach is it would have to be has to be checked. And if it wasn't checked, then you want to rely on the fact that you're crushing it up, and then you're relying on the fact that that's not called the mevatnas. There is one last issue about barrier before we move on to the next sugi, which is really just an interesting piece of information about barrier, which has nothing to do with kashrus, but it's a borrowed phrase of barrier into hilchos brachos. The Rishonim have a question, first of 2 days in Brachas, about whether the issue of barrier makes any sense outside the realm of regular kashrus in the following sense. The original dinner barrier, the din deraisa barrier, was that pachas mikashir of a kazayas is the same as a kazayas if it's a barrier. So we know in Uchas Brachas, kazayas is also important. You already make a bracha chron if you have a kazayas. So let's say if a person has some fruit that's less than a kazayas, so you don't make a bracha chron. What if you had a whole fruit? What if you had a whole unit? So let's say I had a whole grape, and the argument take the grape is smaller than a kazayas. Of a whole raisin, of a whole something, a whole unit of a food. So would we say just as milchus kashrus, so berry is the equivalent of a kazayas? Do I say that? Aim adam milchus milchus, milchus brachas is not the same. Milchus brachas, you need a kazayas, a real achil of a kazayas. But Tosfos quotes Maseches Brachas that it seems to be a machlokes the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi talks about Bavli Rav Sham don't tell what seems to be the same story about Rabbi Yochanan eating a olive, and the Gemara asked the Kasha, why did he make a bracha chrona on it? The Gemara says, made a bracha chrona on the olive. The Gemara says, the olive wasn't a kazayas. Sounds like a joke question. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a kazayas because you don't eat the pit of the olive. So then we ask the Mai from the Shiva kazayas. So the Gemara in the Bavli says that it was a big olive. It was a giant olive. So he ate the whole olive, was more than a kazayas. And the Rishami says it was a barrier. And therefore, when you eat a whole unit, that's a further question. How do you define a whole unit? The edible part of the unit, the whole unit, with the pit, without the pit. But the Rishami has this idea that Ilchus Brachas also depends upon on barrier. So barrier will change the rules of Ilchus Brachas according to Rishami. So Taisus and Brachas, the 2 days, do we possibly take Rishami? So one day Taisus says that it's against the Bavli. The Bavli doesn't say it. And the other Taisus and Taisus says, no, the Bavli didn't say it because the Bavli had a different version of the story. The Bavli didn't think it was a barrier, whatever it was. But fundamentally, the Rishami is right. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted as the Sfeika Dedina. Therefore, Shulchan Aruch recommends that a person should not get themselves into this position of eating food, which is a barrier. Because if you eat a whole unit, and it's less than a kazayas, so then you're going to run to a suffix, whether it's a bracha chron or not. Either break off a little piece and don't eat the whole barrier, or eat enough of it, and you'll have a kazayas the holidays. So if you're right smack in the middle of a suffix, so then it's 2 days in Taisus, it's a suffix in Shulchan Aruch. I've told over the story in the past to my Talmidim, so I'll tell over the story here also. You never heard this one? We're in the Kitzim Horchen Shurim. Okay. So it was a famous Maisha Shoya Kachoya that the Bididi have Uvda. I'll tell the story, I won't put it off the tapes because otherwise we'll have 3 Shurim for 1 day. But try to keep it in the hush. So this goes back to my last Gilgal when I was still in my dating stages. Those who are still in dating stages, I'm sure will appreciate it. Those who just exited dating stages will for sure appreciate it. So, in one of my many escapades in the world of dating, This is not part of Wire Connect's official propaganda, but I don't mean that. But I went to pick a girl up, and I walked to the house. It was like in Europe. They put out a whole bowl of fruit, but they didn't put it out for me to pass in the shilas. They put out, please take something. So I was starting to think quickly. There were apples and grapes there. So apples is the worst thing to eat. Because first of all, it takes a long time to eat the apple. I don't know, no idea how long this girl's going to come down. The last thing you want to do is chomp it away at an apple, and the girl's coming down. And second of all, what are you going to do with the peel? What are you going to do with the core? You're going to stick it in your pocket, you're going to nap. It was very uncomfortable. So I thought grapes was a much safer bet. So hoping and praying they would see those grapes. So I went to the, I took a grape, started to eat the grape, and then I realized, oh my goodness. I said, this is exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says not to do, to have one grape, suffix, whether it's a bracha chrona now. So, you know, I didn't want to look like a chazer, you know, and start eating 15 grapes, and yet it has no shear of kedayas. On the other hand, let's take it to dinner, what are you going to do? So I very quickly removed part of the grape. So I scraped off part of the grape, so it should be less than, shouldn't be a full beria. Then I had my next dilemma, what am I supposed to do with this piece of grape that's sitting in my hand? Baruch Hashem for pockets. I figured it out. That was eight. Anyway, so I don't remember anything about that particular day, but I remember that was the barrier. So I did not make it to a second date, but at least I made it for the story. Yeah.
Once you break it, can't you eat both pieces? Yeah. Just broke and not have a barrier
Okay. Yeah. Taste, I think
two bites that works.
The Rishon talk about breaking up in your mouth or not, no? I think the Rishon talk about that. See, I didn't want to ask the father for Mishnah Berurah. I thought that was going to work out. Okay, getting back to regular normative Yerdea. So we're moving on to the next Tzibin, and we're going to the next possibility, something that's not going to be Batel, for almost the same reason. Again, it goes back to a general theory in Bittel. Bittel has to be Eino Chashev, whenever something is Chashev, so it's not going to be Batel. How do you define Eino Chashev? So Beri is one way, and the other way is based on the same sugya. The Gemara, going back to the seventh paragraph of Pulin, the same Mishnah talked about if you have one gid gets mixed into all the other gidin, and you don't know which is the Gid and Hashem, or if you get one Chatichas, the veil gets mixed into a lot of other Chatichas, or Chatichas Dak Tomei gets mixed into a lot of other Chatichas. So let's say you have these big steaks in front of you. So let's say the Dak Tomei, so you have 100 steaks in front of you, and 99 of them you know for a fact are tuna steaks, and one of them is a dolphin steak. It's just that you can't tell them, two of the dolphins. For years I never understood that. You know, they used to, years ago when the tuna fish, you know, crises were going on 30, 40 years ago in Kashrus, so they used to talk about the dolphins getting stuck to with the tunas. I never could understand it. I always thought a tuna was like about the size of a can. So I instead of dolphins, I remember dolphins from San Diego. They're big and tunas are little. So Terrence says tunas are very, very big. They get like 5,000 cans of tuna out of one tuna fish. So the tunas and dolphins get mixed up. You got these big steaks in front of you, and you know that 99 of them are tuna steaks, and one of them is a dolphin steak. So what do? So chetichas dak tamich, or chetichas nevela. So the Mishnah says, it's not bottled. Mishnah says, forget about the tam issue. Tam, maybe it's benes and tam, but if ainam akira, kulam asuras, they're all also. So Gemara says, why are they also? Based on what? Liftu beruba, when you say ro. So Gemara says, no, it's a chetichah ruilis kabeh. Since it's a type of chatichah, it's a nice steak that you would give as a guest, you give as a gift to serve to a guest, so that's considered to be a davar chashuv, and just as beri is not batel, so to chatichah riskab is not batel. Most probably with the Rabbanon, even beria, we thought, unlike that one Taizen Bavitziya, most of Mishem Halek Tavidva, that's how we assume la halacha, that berias are in the batelim with the Rabbanon, so chatichah riskab is also vadon nechum with the Rabbanon, it's considered to be chashuv, so therefore the Chacham did away with the dinim of betel. So there is a machlekes harishonim, whether we even accept this din altogether. If we don't accept this din, then we just finish siman kufal, done for the day. So some of the rishonim throw out the question whether we even follow this din altogether. Why? It's a perisha gemara. So there is another sugi about this. The gemara in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah talks about other kinds of things that are not batel, and the Mishnah talks about chatichas abasam chalav. You have a big cheeseburger. So you have a big piece of meat that was cooked together with milk. It's mixed up with other pieces of meat. So the Gemara's discussion is whether it's batel or not. So in the middle of that sugya, the Gemara says that piece of basam chalav, that basam chalav steak, that a big steak that was fried in butter, whether it's the rice or not. For now, we have a steak that's fried in butter, gets mixed up with other steaks that were fried in margarine, and you can't tell which is which. So the Gemara says there were two strikes against the steak. So first of all, it's a real iskabet, so it's very chashuv. And number two, it's an isra hanah, basam chalav. It's very serious stuff, it's an isra hanah. So the Gemara seems to say that a combination of those two factors creates a chumra mid derbanan called not being batel. So come the Rishonim and say, it appears from that Gemara that it's only the combination of the two factors that make it not batel. The implication being that if one of those factors are missing, namely it's just nevela, it's just daktame, so just the fact that something is really skabe, that in of itself is not enough to declare that it's not batel. That's a simple reading of the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. So where do you go with that piece of information? So the Ran in Avodah Zarah is ma'ir the fact that if you look in the Rif, when he quotes the sugyas of what is bottle, what's not bottle, he doesn't quote Agamar in Kulin. He doesn't say Chatichu is Kabbah is not bottle. He leaves out the whole sugya. So the Ran says Mustama the Rif held was machlekes the sugyas. So you have a sugya in Avodah Zarah that sounds like Chatichu is Kabbah itself is not a problem. It's only Chatichu is Kabbah combined with the Nisra Hanah that poses a problem. Whereas Agamar says that even Chatichu is Kabbah itself is a problem, so machlekes, not the first, not the last machlekes. So the Ran thinks maybe the Rif Paskin for some reason the Kulu, like maybe the Iker Sugi was the Sugi of Avodah Zarah. The whole thing's a Dirabon anyway, so we have a right to be Mekel that Chatichu is Kabbah Taka doesn't exist. Out of the realm of Devarim Hasurim B'Hanah, just plain simple dolphins and tuna fish, trefa steaks and kosher steaks, Taka Holden doesn't apply. So the Ran says, even though that seems to be the Shita Sarif, the Maisa nobody else held that way. Everybody else held that we paskin like the Gemara in Chulin. What do you do with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? Why the Gemara in Avodah Zarah have to go out of its way to mention both? So the Rishonim explained, if you look textually at that Gemara, the Gemara didn't mean to say that it's only because those two factors are present. The Gemara is just explaining the reason why the Mishnah gave that example, because that example of Bas B'chav happens to have both of those factors. And you know, if one of those factors was missing, it would probably also be true. The Gemara never meant such a grandiose halachic statement to deny the existence of Chatichu is Kabbah. So, however you touch up that Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Maisa, all the Rishonim side with the Ran, all the Rishonim disagree with the Rif, and that's how we pass it unequivocally in Shulchan Aruch, that Chatichu is Kabbah is a problem. So again, it's only a problem with the Rabbanan, but it's still a problem. So the question is, now that we know that it exists, we have to figure out what falls into the category of Ruach Kabbah and what maybe falls short. So much of the discussion of the Rishonim revolves around the sugya in Maseches Vachim, in what's called colloquially by the Rishonim Perka Tarovis. Perka Tarovis is actually not called Perka Tarovis. What's it really called? It's called Kol Zvachim Shenis Arvu. But the Rishonim touches what's called the Perka Tarovis. I remember Rabbi Shechter told us once that he was sitting once somewhere, it's another yeshiva, and two guys were learning. And Tosfos called the Perka Tarovis, and the guys were starting to look through all the lists of Perka Tarovis. They're going through, looking through all the Zvachim of Perka Tarovis. They didn't find it. They didn't know where it was. They thought Tosfos made up a Perek. So they realized that Tosfos called it Perka Tarovis. But the mice, the name of the Perek in Har Dafim is called Kol Zvachim Shenis Arvu. It's like there's a Tosfos somewhere that calls that quotes a pasuk from Parshas Toldos. And where's the pasuk? I know, I forgot what the text is. The quote is a pasuk, Chesiv Bekrab, a Pashas Toldos, and it's a pasuk in Pashas Noach. What's the answer? Tosis called it Pashas Noach. It's not halacha marsim with the names of the Pashas. Tosis called Pashas Noach, Pashas Toldos. What did they call Pashas Toldos? I don't know. Pashas Toldos part two, I don't know what they called it. But Pashas Noach, they called it Pashas Toldos. I guess they thought it's a funny name, you name a Pashas after Noach. Korach, I mean, half the Pashas are named after people who weren't so great. Bola? No, that's just how the Pasha shouldn't be called Pasha. No, anyway, get back to that story. So, in Perkat HaRoivis, there was a whole complicated discussion about a mix-up of chatichas. You have a chatich of a korban chatas that gets mixed up with chatichas of other things, and one is tummy, one is Torah, one is tefidikon, and that. Back and forth, a whole chagaj about a chatichas chatas that gets mixed up into different possibilities. And the Gemara is trying to figure out why is it not bottle? I mean, well, it's not bottle because it's dover shishmatir, and it's not bottle because it's a dover choshev, it's not bottle. Too blind the Gemara, not a word, not a boom, nothing about, hey, it's a chatichas ruach kabbah. When did the Gemara say chatichas kabbah? It's partial chatichas kabbah. So of course, the Rif is sitting on the corner and saying, I'll tell you why, because we don't pass Chatichu is Kabbah. But again, conventional wisdom is that there is a Chatichu is Kabbah. So why is there no Chatichu is Kabbah? What happened to Chatichu is Kabbah? So many of the Rishonim, but most of the Rishonim say, the reason why it's not Chatichu is Kabbah are pure technical reasons in that. So yeah, not to be confused, not to be extended to anywhere else. The reason why the Gemara left out Chatichu is Kabbah is because it's talking about Chatas, talking about Korbanos. Those are not things you invite somebody as a guest to eat. It doesn't belong to you in the first place. You can invite a, who are you going to invite? You can invite a coin. The coin can eat as much as you can eat. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Chatira, really, this kabbet means it has to be something that a person really invited for a guest. The chatas, besak korbanas, besak chatos, the whole model of chatira's kabbet falls short. That's what many of the Rishonim say. But the Ra'ah, in the Sefer Bet HaKabayis, writes, no. There's a reason why the Gemara didn't say it, a totally different reason, which can potentially be extracted to certain sugars that come up for us, lamais in your day. It says there are. The Gemara is talking about a carbon chatas, a piece of chatich of chatas, a very chashva piece of chatas, that became tamei. Says there are, you see, chatich is kabbah, it only applies when something is also machmas atzmai. and you have a piece of nevela. So the nevela is intrinsically problematic. That tummy. Those are the two examples in the Mishnah. You have something which is intrinsically a problem. Then you say chatich l'skamim. When you're talking about something that became osur because of something external, something that was superimposed on it, this is nishken chatich l'skamim. The whole chumrah chatich l'skamim doesn't kick in. So says the Ra'a, says a chatos. There's nothing wrong with this chatos. It became tummy because some ninkapu touched the sheretz to the chatos. So that's called the davar haba memela. Something came externally and caused the problem. That's not that's the chatich l'skamim bechalal. That's the reason why. Therefore, the Ra'a says, based on this, what if I have a piece of kosher meat that is not intrinsically problematic, it just became awesome because of something else, namely a little bit of bliya seeped into it. And a kosher piece of meat, and by mistake, so I cooked with some treifas. By mistake, I cooked it into in a treifa pot that was binyom or something. So there's bliya that now went into the kosher meat, but the kosher meat is not intrinsically, objectively problematic. So it says that, oh, just as the Gemara left out chaticha with his kabed, in the case of the chata shenitma, so too we can leave it out in the sugyas of whenever a bliya is superimposing itself onto a piece of something which is definitely kosher. That's the Ra'a's Zeraya. So the Rashba quotes the Ra'a, the Rashba and the Torah Sabbath and the Mishmeres Sabbath wrote back to the Ra'a, and the Rashba says that the Ra'a is 100% right and he's 100% wrong. He's 100% right in his conclusion that whenever you have a davar which is fundamentally mutter, it's just that it's been exposed to something else, picked up an external problem, so that's 100% right, says the Rashba. That is not called the chatichu eskabe. But his application to Tumah V'Tahara is absolutely wrong. He says the Rashba, what's the svar? What kind of svar is this? That if something comes, if the problem comes besides something else, that doesn't create a chatichu eskabe. What's the svar behind that? Rashba says it's very simple. When you have a piece of kosher meat, which has a little bit of a bliya inside of it, so everybody knows the meat itself is not really osur. Please don't screw me yet. The meat itself is not osir. The reason why the meat is osir is because I can't eat the meat because I got some bleas of chazer in there. I can't get it out. It's impossible. So I can't eat the meat. But the davar ha-treif, the davar osir, is the bleas. The davar ha-chaticha is still amud b'hatero. So comes the Rashi and says, when you invite somebody, follow your invitation, okay? I'm hereby inviting you to please join me for dinner to eat bleas. You usually don't invite people to eat bliyas. So the bliyas is not a davar choshev. The chatichas hefter is a davar choshev. But the chatichas hefter is mutter. It's bimkaimim, it's behateri I made. So says the Rashba, the svara, to say like the Ra'a, made a lot of sense. That you can't say a chaticha real iskabit on something when the whole kibbutz, the whole real iskabit is only on the part which is itself fundamentally still mutter. The davar osur is not real iskabit, and davar mutter is not osur. So we have 0 plus 0, equals 0. So therefore, there's no chaticha iskabit over here. Actually, in the case of Tumah, it's true that the davar mutter, the chatos was mutter until the sheretz touched the beak. But once the sheretz touches the meat, then the whole meat becomes nitpas b'yisr. Let's say if a person goes out and eats karbonos that became tameh, he's only chayav for the part of the carbon that touched the mouse. That's the joke. So what does it say? The chol habasahar pashasav. Habasahar sheigah b'chol tameh lo yeyachel bo'eish yisarev habasahar kol do'oyuch habasahar. Isn't that a positive? No. Just, if I don't know Pasha Stav by now, we're in big trouble. My son's on Mitzvah Pasha in 3 weeks, so I better know that. So, I'm only chayav for the part of the boss that touched the sheretz. That's not a joke. It says once the sheretz touches a piece of kachim, the whole meat becomes a davar asur. So that whole piece of meat is a chaticha, real iskabed. So it really should have been chaticha iskabed. Either Gemara didn't say it. So the Rashba says the Gemara didn't say it because it's kachim. You don't invite people for kachim. You're not the bailet. Give you a half dozen other technical reasons why. But to invoke the principle of because it's the davar hab, which is Osir in Achutz, that whole svara doesn't make any sense by Davar Tamei. It makes a lot of sense by Bliyas, but it doesn't make any sense by Davar Tamei. So, no matter how you slice it, whether the Rashba's right or Oz right, whether the answer to the solution to the Chatos problem is like the Ra'a, that it's like the equivalent of Bliyas, or the answer to the Chatos is for external reasons, at the end of the day, by Bliyas, the din is true. Bein l'Rash, bein l'Ra'a, that is the din. So, if you have a kosher piece of meat that became treif because of a bliya, we're not going to plug in chatichu l'skabit. The kasha, I didn't want you to ask me before, so now you can ask me. It's a chatichu l'asnafayla. According to the machmirim, the chatichu l'smeh l'mishari surim. So what's the answer? So as we've seen already countless times, that even chatichu l'asnafayla b'shari surim is not an end all. It does change everything. No, where do we see this? No, remember this. Come on. We saw it by what? What principle is the stira to chatichu l'asnafayla? And we said, Okay, so it's a big deal. No? Ain't a Nesar, Yochalesar, right? Right? Ain't a Nesar, Yochalesar. Right? We saw this, that somehow Chtichnas Nevela works in terms of numbers. It doesn't change the whole essence of the item. We have other things also. What else do we have? It doesn't make, besides Chtichnas Kaba, what else do we have? Did we talk about this? No. We did at some point. Anyway, so whatever it is. The bottom line is that Chtichnas Nevela, so what? Chtichnas Nevela doesn't change everything in the Gam. It changes it. Lagabi volume, Lagabi shield, Lagabi quantity. It doesn't transform everything in the Gam. So at the end of the day, the Rashi and the Ra are both right. They both say the same thing for us. The having a machloek is about kachim. And it's not even relevant to Lamaisa that machloek is about kachim, because the Rashi agrees that kachim are not considered to be a chetichlus kabbah for technical external reasons. So at the end of the day, everybody agrees on everything, except they're fighting about it. They're just trying to figure out why kachim is not chetichlus kabbah. But at the end of the day, in your idea, I mean, it's Nessa, just that their belief is not for chetichlus kabbah. What would the din be if you have a piece of meat that was cooked not with a dover tray, but it was cooked together with milk? So it became a chaticha bas b'chalav. So here the poskim write, that's a different story, right? The Rishon really right. Once something becomes also because of bas b'chalav, so that's like in the chaticha nas nevel mamish b'chalav mizel. I mean, there the whole piece of meat is considered to be mamish osir. There it's mamish osir mitchil v'yatzoif. The whole essence of the meat is considered to be osir. So every single molecule of this meat is chaticha l'lis kabed, so that would be a problem. What if you have a piece of meat that became osir because of bas b'chalav, but the whole meat didn't become osir? It was only derech tzuli in the good old days before tzuli became like bishul. So what did the Gemara say? If things only happen derech tzuli, it only osirs what? Only osirs the klipa. So there are more rights than anything that became osir derech klipa, even if it's bas b'chalav, which lends itself usually to becoming chedichul hiskabed. Zochter Ramah, if it only became osir, the only amount, quantity was klipa, it's the same svara. You don't send the person an invitation, please come and eat my klipas. I'm not inviting you for the rest of it. I'm only inviting you for the klipa. So the klipa is not called really skabe, so therefore the whole chetich skabe doesn't kick in. So at the end of the day, in order for chetich skabe to be a problem, it has to be real. It has to be that the treif apart is really skabe. So again, if you're dealing with not other yisurim besides bas b'cholov, it's got to be the dover b'atzmusa. Bli is going to do nothing. If it's bas b'cholov, bli is that permeate the whole food will qualify as chetich skabe. Bli is that only permeate a kedei klipa will fall short even in the realm of bas b'chalav. There is a major machlokes in Rishonim about some of the possible limitations of chetichul iskabed, which also revolve around the sugya in Perekat Ha'arayves. There's a whole discussion about if you have shardisko sugyas. If you have one shardisko and you got a lot of thousand other animals that are running around, then lo and behold, that shardisko gets mixed into the 1,000 animals. Now, if they all look the same to me, so I got a big problem. Shardisko is also, maybe, b'chayim, that's what Rabbeinu Tam talks about, that's sugya. So the shardisko is also, b'chil also, b'anah, and all the other animals are mutter. So what do you do? You have a big, big fat terrorist. Or the Mishnah in Dvachim, the reason why it appears in Dvachim is that the Mishnah talks about if you have a chattas hamesis, there's a halacha mashem mesinai, that if you mafresh a korban for korban chattas, and then something happens, either the chattas is kapar ba'al abiyachir, you brought another animal, or it's a vlad chattas, a tmuris chattas, all these convoluted, complicated stories of chattas. So there's a din in the Torah, a special halacha mashem mesinai called chattas hamesis. In case you forgot some of the details about these halachas, don't feel so bad. The Gemara says in Tmura that these were some of the dinim that were forgotten in the Ebel Shal Moshe. It was so complicated, the dinim of what's called the chattas hamesis, what's not. So Moshe Rabbeinu died, so people, even his own Talmidim, they didn't remember all the details. He had just spent weeks learning Tmura. That was the last thing he learned with them. Went Tmura with them, telling all the details of chattas hamesis. And then after he died, there were a lot of things that were forgotten. So Gemara says, Asniel ben Kenaz, he figured out. He went back to the basics, back to the drawing board, and he figured out all the details. He was Bechavin, Lamita Shal Torah, all the halachas that were Nishkichu, we made Moshe Rabbeinu, and a lot of the halachas and mesas was forgotten. So, anyway, so now Baruch Hashem, we got it back, thanks to Asniel ben Kenaz, so we're back to the Shabbos. This was right after I got married, so I was learning Maseches Tmura at the time. So I remember sitting in Shabbos Shulis, and my wife asked me, she wanted to know what I do. I've been married for a few weeks. She wanted to know, what exactly do I really learn all day? So I haven't been learning Maseches Tmura. So I said, you don't really want to know. So I said, no, tell me. So okay, I'll give you a little bit of glimpse of what, a little taste of what we do. So I said, right now, learning a sugya about the chattas, an animal, the chattas gets pregnant, gets lost, gets this, someone else brings it down, and the chattas amazing, it's mixed up with 500 other animals, what's a chattas? All the complicated sugyas of the Rimei Moshe, the Evel Shem Moshe, I was trying to explain to my wife over Shal Shudas. So she looked at me like I was, what? And then I remember her line that we've been part of our Chachim Vamarash, so many Vachshem happy years, but happy years to come. So she said, I guess you just do what you do well, and I'll do what I do well, and we'll, you know, whatever, something along those lines. So she hasn't asked me any more about Masechet Tumah since then. Okay, more about Ksuvah stuff on the Talmud or anything else. So we're still learning Shmoneh Yisrael 20 years later. It's a different podcast. Anyway, so, so the Gemara's whole discussion about all these wild, wacky cases of Shchadas and Mesis and Shmoneh Yisrael, then it's getting mixed into everything else. And the Gemara wants to know, why are all these things never bottle? What happened to Dinah Mabittle? Why bottle for Rav? They should be bottle for Rav. What happened to Dinah Mabittle? So the Gemara works and works and works, spends two blot in Perek HaTarevis, or in Perek, close Rosh Hashanah, whatever you want to call it. The Gemara finally comes up with this idea that Balei Chayim are Chashiv Avinim B'Teilim. If the animals are alive, so then the whole Dinah Mabittle maybe don't apply. It's another Chum B'Dirabah, Balei Chayim Einim B'Teilim. So I'm older, Rishayim, and they ask, why did you say Pachtik L'Zgabed? It's like a shmak, a piece of meat, this Shor HaNiskol. It's great, it's an unbelievable Shor HaNiskol. This is a great, this is the best quality meat. Why did the Gemara say that? So come a group of Rishayim and say, no, this wouldn't qualify as Chalitza L'Zgabed. You know why? Because you wouldn't invite a person for a meal to eat a whole Shor. So in the way it is now, this is Pachtik L'Zgabed. You invite a person to eat a steak, you don't invite him to eat a whole ox. Imagine getting an invitation, please come and join me, we're eating an ox today. So that's not a normal thing you invite a person for. So that's not called a real iskabed. So what do we share him saying? So kal v'chaymer. Instead of one chatichu iskabed, you got 4,000 chatichu iskabed. You got a whole ox. You can make this into a million pieces of meat. So ein l'cha chatichu iskabed gadol mizeh. So the other v'sharim respond, no. Ein l'cha mokhem v'shaito. Ba'ashehu sham. Rav Sham said, Yishmol, he's a tzaddik now. That's the way it is. Ba'ashehu sham. Right now, in the state of Taroides, does it look like it's a real iskabed? Would you invite somebody for this piece the way it is right now? The answer is no. I would first cut it up. First I'd cut it up into little pieces, shecht it and cut it in kasher. Then I would invite somebody. And right now it's not royal iskabed, this is nishkin royal iskabed. So machleik is the gedel levi shayinim. Is there such a principle or not? Assuming that there is such a principle that royal iskabed is only defined by the here and now, so then the Rishayim extend this and say, what if it's not, it is a piece of meat, it's not a whole animal, it's a piece of meat, but the piece of meat is, you haven't taken off the skin yet, let's say. You haven't taken out, I don't know, whatever, you haven't cleaned it up, you haven't done such certain process to it that would make it normally edible. You wouldn't invite somebody. Or, what if it's raw? You wouldn't invite somebody to eat a raw piece of meat. Imagine getting it's like shalach manas, that's the Mitzvah's Raya from yesterday's Pasha. We usually assume that raw meat is not called a mana. You can't be yetzir shalach manas. You wouldn't give somebody that. If you have shalach manas, it's to give the guy a gift, to give something royal achila. If the food's raw, it's not yetzir shalach manas. So what's the Netziv's Raya? Yesterday's Pasha. It happens to be Pasha Tzavah. The regular year is always learned before Purim. So the Netziv says a Raya because it says v'hiyola chol mana. It says by the Shokas Ruma Chazay Atruf, it says it should be la mana. And it wasn't cooked yet. It was Roy's handing him. He says, Shahuna Fashahura, but wasn't in the pot yet. And he's saying, Bahiyala Khalamana, here it is, it's called the mana. So it's called Mishlach Mana, Sishtrayu. But we usually don't assume that way. We assume that you have to give Shalach Mana, that's Royal Echomiyad. That's what some of the Rishonim say. The Rush quotes Rishonim will say that if the food is raw, the Nishkin Rule is Kab. Rule is Kab, it only applies if a piece of Nevela that was ready cooked gets mixed in, a piece of a dolphin that was ready cooked gets mixed in. If you have a raw piece of dolphin, a raw piece of Chaza steak or something gets mixed in, it can be as kosher as you want, but right now it's not kosher. So you have a big machlokes of Rishonim about this. So the Ramah quotes, which is a little bit of a pshara. The Ramah writes that it depends just how far removed it is away from being edible. If it's just missing, it's not cooking. So the Ramah says maybe that's not enough. But if it's missing, you haven't taken the feathers off. You haven't taken the skin off of it. You have 15 different processes left. So maybe that's not called real iskabed. Again, those are already nuances of compromises within the shittas. But there are fundamentally two different approaches in the Rishonim in terms of defining what qualifies as real iskabed. Must it be royal iskabed, mamish basheu sham, or as long as it's a davar chashuv to become real iskabed in the next couple of hours, that's also would be subject to the din d'rabban of real iskabed. There is another discussion that the Issa v'Heter has about the schumra of chatichu iskabed, whether this chumra is limited only to min b'mino, or whether this applies to min b'she'en amino as well. This is a general question. We spoke about many times the different kinds of tarovasim. So some of the chumras that we have in Hilchos Tarovah, some of the times that we say that the standards of bitl are higher, many of those chumras only apply to min b'mino. Let's say one of the examples is about truma. The truma is also b'beya. That's only with min b'mino. It's about yistam yenim, right? We said yain nesach is only also b'mashu if it's min b'mino, if it's the water, then it's b'adol b'shishim. So we find this idea of certain chumras min d'rabbana and certain dinim of lach abito only playing out if it's min b'mino. So the yisam b'heter compare this shayla. What would you have a chetichul iskabed? Of a min mishen amino kind of a shayla. You have to first figure out how to have such a shayla. But assuming you can put together such a case, so he says that he thinks it shouldn't be any more common than davar sheyesh lamatirin, which you know then branch of the next sugya. A davar sheyesh lamatirin. Somebody asked me, I was so excited last night, somebody asked me a davar sheyesh lamatirin shayla. I mama thought it was a shayla maisa, and then I realized afterwards that he just got out of a book. It was he asked me about if you have some fruit that fell on Shabbos. So we know my Paris notion is asur, and you can't tell which fruit fell on Shabbos. You had a whole bunch of fruit on the floor, and you're unsure which ones fell on Shabbos and which ones fell otherwise. And rove of the fruit is fell from before Shabbos, so he wants to know can you eat some of that fruit on Shabbos itself. So I was very much jumping for joy. This is it. This is a Gemara in Beitza about the Paris notion, the Eitz Medeko. So I was wanted to see who had the Shaila. He said, no, it was in Reb Baruch Chait's Malacha's book. It was on Kotzer. One of the riddles at the end of the book about what would you do about this kind of a shayla. So I was less excited, but at least I told him it was a Davar Sheyesh Matirin. So anyway, Davar Sheyesh Matirin, that Chumra Davar Sheyesh Matirin, the Rambam writes, only applies to Min B'mina. We'll have to see whether there's some exceptions to that rule also. But as a general rule, Davar Sheyesh Matirin is only Einobot to Min B'mina. So the Yisrael had to extrapolate it and said that, well, if that's true by Davar Sheyesh Matirin, it's probably the same as true by Chetich Ruiskat. Kolam probably worked the same. So others questions, the Shach questions, the two are not necessarily the same. The reason why Davar Sheyesh Matirin may be limited in scope to Min B'mino may be something very, very unique about Davar Sheyesh Matirin. Now, we don't know too much yet about Davar Sheyesh Matirin. We'll find out hopefully very soon a little bit about Davar Sheyesh Matirin, but we don't yet know enough to appreciate why that Svar L'chalek with Min B'mino may be something which is unique to Davar Sheyesh Matirin, may not be able to be carried over to Chetich L'Iskabed. So again, that's the open question, the Chalekis Deis of Het and the Shach, about whether this klal of Chetich L'Iskabed is limited only to Min B'mino. So again, so the basic principle exists, according to just about all the Rishon, except maybe with the Rif. The fact that it doesn't exist in the realm of Leos and Klifos, that's agreed upon by everybody. Whether that's what the Gemara in Zvachim was talking about or not is highly questionable. The fact that this din should apply, shouldn't apply to things which are only by Sheo Sham, that's a big machlokes of Rishonim. And there are somewhere kind of a little bit of a compromise in between that. Then you have a further question, but just how far this Chetich L'Iskabed applies. It's not the most common shayla. Chetich L'Iskabed is not exactly the most common shayla that we get. But again, it's the basic thing. Which really leads us into the very, very beginning of the next sugya. We'll just touch on the beginning of the next sugya. And this is going to probably take us for a little bit longer. That's the din of Davar Sheyesh Matirin. So we've talked about this a little bit. Gemara has this in the beginning of Beitzen, and there are a few places called Davar Sheyesh Matirin, Fil Diaflo Batil. That if you have any tarovus of a Davar Sheyesh Matirin, something that's going to become mutter at a later date, so then Bittul doesn't apply. So the Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Beitza puts this together with another aspect of Davar Sheyesh Matirin. There are two chumras of Davar Sheyesh Matirin. One is the fact that the regular rules of Bittul fall short, and the other is that Sveka Derabban Lekulu also falls short. Took the Gemara a long time to realize that. Finally, the Gemara concludes that the regular principle of Sveika Derabban Lekulah doesn't apply to a Davar Sheyesh Matirin. That's the reason why the Gemara says a Suffolk Beitza should also be Yom Tov is Asur. It's not a Suffolk Derabban Lekulah. Even if you hold Beitza should be Yom Tov Derabban, it's Machlokes in the Gemara. But even if you hold it's Yom Tov Derabban, it's going to be Suffolk Lechumra, because Davar Sheyesh Matirin, Sveika Derabban Lekulah doesn't apply. So we know there, on record there are two Chumras put in the realm of Davar Sheyesh Matirin. One is a Chumra Nuchas Taroivis, and one is a Chumra Nuchas Sveikas. And the real question we have to start off the sugi with is understanding Mahemanishtana. Why is Davar Sheyesh Matirin different? And if it's different, are these really two sides of the same coin? Are these two Chumras really related to one another, or these just happen to be coincidentally there are two different halachas of Davar Sheyesh Matirin? So we have a lot of work cut out for us in terms of understanding the background behind Davar Sheyesh Matirin, and then ultimately what is a Davar Sheyesh Matirin and how some of this plays out.
If something at one point was not and then went back to being, like I grind up beef into ground beef, it's a bunch of mush, but then I make it into nice hamburgers, or I take a lot of little pieces of turkey and tie them together into nice fancy turkey.
Stomach that is.
It's still Chetich L'Iskabed, even though in between it was mush. And now
when the tarovas happened, what was it when the tarovas happened?
The tarovas happened now that they're all hamburgers. There's one Nevela hamburger, there's one Nevela turkey roast.
I think so. I think it's called L'Iskabed. It has to be natural for L'Iskabed. Did it say that anywhere? I don't remember.
Once it becomes unchaticha, once it's a bunch of mush, does it go back to being chaticha all this time?
I don't know. It's still awesome. Okay, all right. We got that milk, right? We got it in.